Hopkins. Bryant for the win.
Interviews from your favorite local coaches and athletes.
He's getting to the basket of will, and he's hitting that three-point shot with some consistency now, and he's just in a groove right now where he's pretty well unstoppable.
Hall of Fame and legendary guests.
I was driven by loving to play, liking the challenge of being an NFL quarterback, but after 18 years, I was 1 month short of 39 years old. It's time to go.
Analysis and insight on the latest national sports topics.
Sean Payton was horrible in clock management. That should never be the case with this New Orleans Saints team.
Well, we're waiting.
Live from the Auto Farm Studios, it's Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
Welcome into a brand new week of Drive Time Sports right here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. As always, happy to be with you. We're starting off a brand new week, and there's so much to get into as far as the national and local sports scene is concerned. High school football came to an end over the weekend. The Emory Spartans falling on the road to North Sam Pete 42-7. You can get your full game recap at castlecountryradio.com. We will also recap that in just a moment, give you the logistics statistic-wise on how it went down. Emory finishing the season 1-9. Two of those nine losses come in the hands of North Sam Pete, who is the number one team right now in the 3A classification. So we'll talk more local sports in a bit. Also gearing up for the Scenic West Athletic Conference tournament this weekend as USU Eastern will travel on the road to take on Salt Lake Community College, the women's side of the soccer field, that is. And we're going to be joined by Coach Ammon Bennett. He'll join us next segment here on the show as we gear up for the SWAC Conference tournament. That's what's coming up on the local end of things. We have to talk NBA basketball on the show today. It's a fun NBA season so far. And I think the reason why I say it's more fun than what it has been is because we honestly just don't know what's going to happen. The Clippers looked fantastic in wins over the Lakers and the Warriors, but then they gave up 130 spot to the Phoenix Suns on the road. And then all of a sudden you start thinking, maybe this team is beatable as well. The Lakers, they didn't look all that great against the Clippers. They did in spurts. But then they come out, they steamroll the Jazz, and then last night, Dwight Howard was fantastic against the Hornets, and you think, okay, maybe there's something brewing there. The Philadelphia 76ers, they look good so far. Sixers right now outscoring their opponents by an average of 10 points per game. Only two games, small sample size, I get it, but still. Portland Trailblazers, they look pretty good as well. The unknown of the NBA season right now is fantastic. That's what I love so much about it. The Jazz are sitting at 2-1, and the Jazz will make their return tonight as they take on the Phoenix Suns. We will talk about that game a little bit later, and I want to go over the Western Conference. How bad do the Warriors look? I mean, this is not a good basketball team. And I love the fact that Draymond Green, yeah, he was 100% correct. He said, yeah, we're playing like crap right now. Something has to change, right? We're not playing good basketball right now. That's a team that has problems. We'll talk about the Golden State Warriors a little bit later on in the show as well. Let's take a look at the national scene, and I'll tell you, this one right here is a little bit of a shock. The NFL trade deadline continues to just impress, continues to give us some form of entertainment. The New York Jets have traded defensive lineman Leonard Williams. Now, this doesn't shock me. What shocks me is that they dealt him to the New York Giants. I did not expect the Giants to be desperate buyers at the deadline. And I'm saying desperate buyers because they're going to have to pay Leonard Williams in order for this to actually pay dividends moving forward. So they probably will do everything they can to re-up. If not, they'll get a comp pick for him, one of the compensatory picks. But nonetheless, they give up a third-round pick next season and a fifth-rounder in 2021. I just did not expect the Giants, who were sitting at 2-6, to really be buyers. Now, in addition to Williams, Dave Gettleman, who has said that this is, you know, this team is closer than many want to believe, he's trying to beef up that defensive line. And I've put a big emphasis on pass rush here on the show. Two most important positions, it used to be left tackle and quarterback. It's not. It's quarterback and pass rush. That's exactly what it is. They went out, they drafted Dexter Lawrence with the 17th overall pick. They drafted B.J. Hill in the third round, Now they have Leonard Williams. So I think you have to look long-term here for the Giants. Yes, maybe they were buyers at the deadline. It's not for immediate impact. If they sign Leonard Williams moving forward, this may be a deal that we look back on and say, you know what? It was a pretty good get for the New York Giants. Outside of that, really the only other big deal that's gone down, Kenyon Drake, who the Dolphins said stay home to this past weekend. He's on his move. He's going to go to the Arizona Cardinals. Unlikely, I'm going to say, to be re-signed this offseason. It was an unconditional pick. I haven't seen what the official price tag was for Kenyon Drake. But really, outside of that, things have been somewhat quiet on that NFL trade deadline front. It was big last week, not a whole lot today. We'll see if anything else pops up as we enter the final hours before that deadline. And some news coming out of Chicago. The Bears will stick with Mitch Trubisky. They will not swap to Chase Daniel. Trubisky wasn't great yesterday, but he did put his team in position to pick up a win. Wouldn't you know it, the Bears missed another kick to win a football game. It's crazy. The luck? The amount of games that special teams has cost this team in the Matt Nagy era? It's kind of crazy to think about. Let's take a look at the schedule in the NBA. Tonight we get Indiana at Detroit. That's in a 5 o'clock hour. We also got a couple of other 5 o'clock hour games. Chicago at New York. The Raptors play host to the Magic. Then we get Philadelphia at Atlanta. 6 o'clock hour tonight, Cleveland at Milwaukee. We get Golden State at New Orleans. The Rockets will play host to Oklahoma City. It's homecoming for Chris Paul. We get Portland at San Antonio. All of those games in the 6 o'clock hour. 8 o'clock tonight, Denver will take on Sacramento. And right here on KOAL, the Utah Jazz will travel to take on the Phoenix Suns. Start time for that game also set for 8 p.m. And in the nightcap, it's the Hornets at the Clippers. And that's a quick look at what's happening in the national sports front. Again, coming up on the show today, we're going to talk to Coach Ammon Bennett of the USU Eastern Soccer Squad. And we'll talk some NBA basketball with Jamison Welsh. And I want to get in to some college football talk. Kind of a crazy weekend. Is the Pac-12 back in it as far as the college football playoff is concerned? We'll talk about that and more when we return. It's a Monday edition of Drive Time Sports here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. Reporting from the KOAL newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini with a look at local sports. And we will begin with high school football. And on Friday, the season came to an end for the Emory Spartans as they suffered a 42-7 loss to the North Sam Pete Hawks in Mount Pleasant. Entering as the number 16 seed, Emory had the difficult task of going toe-to-toe with the number 1 team in 3A in North Sam Pete. The Hawks pulled away early in this contest, keeping the Spartans at zero through the first two quarters of the game before Jace Curtis took a 31-yard run into the end zone to give Emory its first points of the contest. In the setback, Emory was led by James Bowman. The senior started at quarterback where he completed 4 of 9 passes for 14 yards, but he also ran the ball 17 times for 59 yards and also hauled in 2 catches for 20 yards. Jace Curtis finished with 5 carries for 39 yards and a touchdown, and Jax Madsen hauled in 3 catches for 59 yards. Tyler Stilson, sophomore quarterback, worked a relief effort in the second half. He completed 5 of 9 passes for 72 yards. North Sam Pete was led in this game by sophomore quarterback Landon Bowles. He completed 6 of 13 attempts for 148 yards. On the ground, it was Connor Jorgensen. He had 2 touchdowns, carrying the ball 5 times for 56 yards. The season comes to an end for Emory. They finish 1-9 overall on the season. Stay tuned to Castle Country Radio. We'll have more on the Emory High School football team with a season recap interview with head coach John Famalo in the coming days. We head on over to junior college athletics, and this past Thursday, the USU Eastern women's volleyball team wrapped up the home portion of the schedule with a straight set victory over Colorado Northwestern. The Lady Eagles, who currently hold the number 12th ranking in the country, improved to 25-7 overall with the win and 6-2 in conference play. The Lady Eagles closed out the home portion of the schedule 5-1 as a team. They're 3-1 on the road and 17-5 at a neutral site. The Lady Eagles have one more weekend of regular season action before they move on to the Region 18 Scenic West Athletic Conference Tournament. Up next, the Lady Eagles will travel Thursday to meet the Snow College Badgers. Start time for this contest is set for 7 p.m. We stick with volleyball, but we move to the high school ranks. The Carbon Dinos and Emory Spartans both received a first-round bye in the 3A state championship tournament, and that began this past Saturday. Carbon was given the number 7 seed in the final RPI rankings that came out last week. They will face the Grantsville Cowboys, who were the number 10 seed and from Region 13. Grantsville finished the season 11-16 overall and 5-5 in region play. These two teams will face off at 10:30 a.m. tomorrow on the campus of Utah Valley University. The Emory Lady Spartans earned the number 13 seed, and they will face off with Union, the number 4 seed out of Region 14. Union finished 26-4 overall and a perfect 12-0 in conference play. They'll play at 9 a.m. Again, this will be tomorrow, also on the UVU campus. Make sure you stay tuned to Castle Country Radio. We'll continue to bring updates on the 3A High School State Championship volleyball season, which will complete the fall sports season here in the Castle Country. You can find more news, sports, and community events at CastleCountryRadio.com, as well as podcasts from Drive Time Sports and interviews with coaches in the local area. Again, you can find all that at CastleCountryRadio.com. Reporting, I'm Jordan Buscarini.
What you listening to?
Big Sports Radio Guy.
Prepare the water cooler, that we may gather around it later and discuss the...
It's time for the Coach's Corner on Drive Time Sports.
Let's talk local sports here on the show today. How the football season came to an end locally over the weekend, as you heard during that last break. But the fall sports season is not over just yet. In fact, we are gearing up for the biggest 3 days in Scenic West Athletic Conference soccer season, as the USU Eastern Eagles, both the men and the women, will travel on the road to Salt Lake Community College this Friday and Saturday. Only the top four teams go to the conference tournament. USU Eastern happen to be one of those four on both sides. And joining us right now to talk about what is up and coming, the past 2019 season, and all things in general heading up to the big game this weekend, we have Coach Ammon Bennett over the phone right now. Coach, it is always a pleasure to get you on the show. I appreciate the time again today. Thank you.
You bet.
Coach, it's a fun time of the year. You guys are now gearing up for the Scenic West Athletic Conference Tournament, which will actually begin this week, Friday. You guys will travel to take on Salt Lake Community College. Of course, you have to finish inside the top four in order to advance to the conference tournament. So you got past at least one crucial stage of the season.
Yeah, you know, we've got a lot of injuries, but we were, you know, kind of limped in the last little bit because we just had so many injuries. But, yeah, we got to take on Salt Lake. We played them twice. We know what they can do. We hope to change up a few things just to make it a little bit more interesting and give us a little bit better opportunity to come away with a win.
Well, before we talk about what's up and coming this weekend, Coach, I want to talk about the regular season in general. And you and I had a conversation off of the cuff. I mean, you guys have just been decimated by injuries so far this season. And I know that is part of sports, yet at the same time, you were going over some of those injuries with me. A couple of them are just a little bit odd. And at the same time, the amount of injuries, it must be the most difficult season in that form that you have faced since you've been here at USU Eastern. At least I believe it is, right?
Oh, yeah, probably in the 20 years I've been doing this, I've never seen anything like that. You expect injuries are going to happen. It's part of you're playing sports. Somebody's going to get hurt. The season-ending ones are just are what's tough. Plus the several other players on the team that are nursing, sprained ankles or bad back, different things like that. So, yeah, it's been tough. We've had to bounce around some people or sit some people for a long time so they don't train as much to get through the injury. So it's been a challenge.
Coach, and the regular season comes to an end, and again, these are extremely close games. A loss to Snow College 1-0 and a loss to Southern Nevada 2-1. And I know what kind of goes back over the course of a season. You take a look at a lot of the losses. I mean, they've been very competitive, including Salt Lake, who I know we're going to talk about here in just a moment. But going back and looking at the regular season and knowing that you're a 4 seed, what was the ceiling for this squad over the past, 10 games or so in your mind?
We felt like, we could have been the number 2 seed. Even going into the last two games against, Snow College, that we lost 1-0. If we'd have flipped that and won that and then just tied CSN, we'd have been the 2 seed. If we'd have won both. Even if we'd have beat Salt Lake one time, and we had a 1-0 lead against them, we were right in it, but it just seemed like every time we played snow in Salt Lake, we'd have, you know, 4, 5, 6 starters not out there. And our backup kids, man, they stood up. They played hard. They did a really good job. But our team is just so much better. When you have really, really good backups, which we do, that depth really, really helps you. When your depth is gone now, and you have to kind of bounce some players around in slightly different spots, this really takes away from your flow and ability to overall get some things done. So I think the players have a pretty good attitude about it. You know, I'd be a little bit down right now, but, you know, we've been able to refocus and relook at some positions and formations, and hopefully those things will change for this next game.
I know I've asked you this question in years past, but I'm going to ask it again. Is the team bought into the idea that what happened in the regular season now, honestly, it does not mean a single thing? I mean, it is irrelevant to the fact that you guys need 2 wins, and that's what's important now?
You know, you always preach that. I think this team understands that. Our team here knows what we're capable of. Again, not having certain players hurts that. You know, I'm sure that you always have that little voice in the back of your head that would doubt a little bit. But I think we're really ready to go out there and play our best game of the year against a very good Salt Lake team. So yeah, we preach that. We always tell them, look, you know, it's nice to maybe have be the one seed, you know, if you can. But in the end, it doesn't matter. You still got to go play. The 4 teams that are playing have all played each other extremely close. A lot of one goal games. And even College of Southern Nevada beat Snow College late in the year, and those two have a first round matchup. So I don't know that anybody can look at this and predict who might win this. In last year, you know, there were both of the games were shootouts in the end, where the one of the semifinal games and then the championship game, you know, shootout. You know, and 2 years ago, our women were in that spot where we beat Salt Lake and then a shootout and then had to play the next day. So it's tough. But I think all the teams are prepared, and I think any one of those 4 teams could win the league.
Again, our guest right now, Coach Ammon Bennett of the USU Eastern Lady Eagles soccer squad, as we prepare for what's up and coming. Coach, before you go into the conference tournament, you actually have a primer, right, set up for Thursday at home against Voltage?
Yeah, we had a little opportunity. We had implemented a new idea, and so what we did is we had them come over and had a scrimmage against us. They basically played with 13 players on the field plus a keeper, so it provided them more players, which would put a little bit more pressure on us, which would help us to play just a little bit quicker. Maybe the first little bit, our girls weren't taking it too serious, but then, you know, halftime we said, hey, look, you guys have got to play this like you're playing Salt Lake. Stop holding the ball. Start banging the ball around. You know, and we were able to work on some things. Having only worked on the new idea for just about 3 days, you know, we saw some things. We made some adjustments, and over the last few practices, that little scrimmage really helped us to see where we might struggle and to refocus the team and reorganize them. And so, yeah, it was good to have them over, and they've got a couple girls on that team over there that we were interested in, and still hope that they might decide to stay home and come and play for us.
Coach, between now and Friday, do you focus more on health? I mean, how do you handle practice, especially knowing that this season you guys have been so plagued with injuries? Do you wrap the girls in bubble wrap? I mean, how do you approach that as a coach?
Well, it's funny because I just had, just before you called, you know, I had Corey Foote in here, and we were talking about practices. Practice right now is, look, let's make sure, you know, from a fitness standpoint, let's start tapering off. Let's start peaking that body. Let's make sure that we're healthy. So we get some touches on the ball, and it's a lot of believe it or not, there's probably, for me, there's a lot more coaching as far as stopping and directing, saying, hey, here's what we're moving to, here's what we're doing. You know, sharpening up set piece opportunities, corner kicks, you know, and just overall, just just trying to slow build that energy. You know, we don't talk a ton about Salt Lake and trying to get all super nervous about it. We just try to focus on here's what we need to do. And then the night before we play, that whatever practice we have, it's going to be actually on Halloween. We'll have a really light practice and fun. We're probably even going to have the players dress up in costumes, and we'll just go out there and have some fun. Because it's really about, in the end, as competitive as I am, and as much as I want to win, and as much as all of that, they really have to enjoy this. We're trying to give them the best information that we can and get them prepared, but hopefully in the end they have a good experience. And win or lose, we hope that we play our best. I'd rather play our best and lose than play something else and lose. So, you know, if we could go out there and have everybody wrapped in bubble wrap, or, you know, have the whole field covered in mattresses, that'd be great. But we don't tell the players, don't get hurt today. But yeah, we go out there and try to do some things so that we don't put ourselves in situations to take on another injury.
Well, Coach, it is always a pleasure to get you on and talk about the team. I'm definitely looking forward to the conference tournament this weekend. Thank you again for the time, and best of luck against Salt Lake, and we'll talk again real soon.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
Again, that's Coach Ammon Bennett of the USU Eastern Soccer Squad taking out the time to join us here on the show today. We'll talk more soccer in the coming days as we gear up for the opening round of the Scenic West Athletic Conference Tournament. We're going to break for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up when we return. We'll flip over to talk NBA basketball tonight. The Jazz, they make their return to the court. They'll go toe-to-toe with the Phoenix Suns. We'll talk about the Jazz and more other storylines in the NBA when we return here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 a.m.
Oakland-born Damian Lillard.
Now, what a second season for Damian Lillard.
Last year's Rookie of the Year, an All-Star this year.
It's Lillard. He got the shot off. Lillard got it! And the Blazers win the series for the first time in 14 years!
This is Damian Lillard from the Portland Trail Blazers, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with George Buscarini on KOAL 750 AM.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM, live from the Auto Forum Studios. We're going to talk NBA basketball. Of course, the season is now off and rolling. Utah Jazz, well, they got off to a slow start, suffered what should have been a loss to the Oklahoma City Thunder. They did pick up a victory, suffered a loss to the Lakers, and then bounced back in a major way against the Sacramento Kings. Of course, you can continue to follow the Utah Jazz all season long right here on KOAL. Next up for the Jazz, well, it's the Phoenix Suns, and that game's tonight. Start time is set for 8 p.m. Joining us to talk about the Jazz, the Western Conference, and more, we have Jamison Welsh, our Drive Time Sports NBA insider. Jamison, is always a pleasure. Thank you again for the time this week.
Thanks for having me, as always. Definitely appreciate it.
Talked about the Utah Jazz and their early, I guess we could call it, struggles. Again, they looked better against the Sacramento Kings, but they were fortunate to get a win over Oklahoma City. They were really blown out in this game against the Lakers. And if you look at the Jazz, a couple of things stand out. First off, Bogdanovich did miss the game against the Lakers. Getting him back on the court's obviously going to help the Jazz, but Mike Conley has not looked good in a limited, you know, time so far. Very small sample size. We're talking three games. Jamison, you did not have the Jazz inside your top four, so I doubt that you're surprised by this at all.
No, I have some questions about the pieces the Jazz have. Like, I like Donovan Mitchell. I don't love him. Rudy Gobert is a one-dimensional guy that's playing for a bigger max contract. So I'm not really in love with the Jazz and the way they play. I understand defense is important, but they offensively they can be much, much improved. I just think they're very easy to defend. And I don't think you have to do anything complex to defend them. They run pick and roll, and if you take care of that, you stay with the shooters, you're in pretty good shape as long as you rebound the ball. So I don't think there's anything, you know, grand that you have to do playing Utah. However, Mike Conley is adjusting. You know, he's used to playing a certain way, you know, playing pick and roll and finding his own way. Now he has another guy in the backcourt back in, you know, create for himself. That's something he's never really had before. So it's going to take some adjustment time for him. He'll be okay. I don't really worry about him too much. My thing is this with Utah. This is a team that has expectations throughout the league now. It always wasn't like this. Now there are some teams expecting them to get to the conference finals. I'm not one of the people, obviously, but there's people who are. So it's different when you're expected to do something rather than be the fun up-and-coming team.
Yeah, you know, looking at this team, and again, things will change. Mike Conley will find his way. He is an all-star caliber point guard. He will find his way. I don't have any doubt about that. But I'll tell you who's been the biggest surprise for me, Jameson, throughout the first three games. And again, I know it's a small sample size, and you got to be, you got to make sure you don't rush to conclusions. Emmanuel Mudiay fits in seamlessly with this team. That's what I've gauged off of these first three games. That's a more genuine fit than, say, Mike Conley. Adjustment period is going to be much shorter with Mudiay.
Yeah, I mean, and Mudiay is a guy that's still trying to figure out how to play basketball as well. I think he's a young guy that's been in the league a while, but he's still trying to figure it out. I mean, he's bounced around so much. Sometimes, you know, the fit is randomly there. With that being said, if Mudiay is a better fit than Conley, the Jazz are in trouble. You know, the Jazz need Mike Conley to be that guy. They need him to be the guy that's going to lead them to where they're trying to get to. Personally, I think that Mike Conley, when it comes down to it, will be fine. And yep. I think it'll be fine, especially defensively. He'll know his role. But remember, he's a guy that is older as well. He was part of the 07 draft. So he's been in the league quite a while now. He's had a lot of injuries. So he may not be the exact fit that the Jazz were hoping for, but it is early. It's October. So, you know, guys, wait and see.
Yeah, there's plenty of time for them to get this figured out. And again, I believe Conley will get it. Jazz fans should not worry about that aspect of this team at all. Now, I want to go back to Friday's game. The Jazz take on the Lakers. And I know the Lakers, they easily win this game. If you didn't watch, final score was a 9-point deficit. But at the same time, the Lakers dominated. They were up by 20 at one point in time in the second half. And Jameson, looking at this, it's one game, but it appeared to be a very bad matchup. And for the first time, well, it's the first time in a long time, the Jazz haven't had a Derek Favors on this team. He was sorely missed in this game against the Lakers. Now, I want to make it more about what the Lakers did do, more so than what the Jazz did not do. But when I watch the Lakers, even at times against the Clippers, this team looks like the best team in the NBA to me. I thought that going into the year with LeBron James and Anthony Davis. Even when LeBron isn't playing well, Anthony Davis is playing lights out. LeBron has put Anthony Davis's production ahead of his own. And Dwight Howard, I love the signing. I really did. It was so low risk, high reward. And so far, Dwight's doing the right things, saying the right things, been in the right spot at the right time. It's working with the Lakers so far. I know they're 2-1. They had their opportunities in that Clipper game, but we got to see this last night against the Hornets. They took care of business when they needed to take care of business. And to me, well, that's the makings of a good team when you blow out a squad that you should blow out.
Well, the one thing that sticks out about the Lakers is that they're defending. Like, they're really defending. Anthony Davis is an all-world defender. We know that. All-world player, but especially defensively, he's amazing defensively. Pick and rolls, blocking shots, contesting shots, moving his feet on the perimeter. Like, he can do it all defensively. There's nothing he can't do outside of really guard bigger guys like the Jokic's and Embiid's, but who can't? You know, that's always a tough task in general. But with that being said, like, they're guards. You know, Danny Green, Avery Bradley, you know, those guys are very active. So you're not just going to just have any lazy passes, lazy dribbles around them, because they're going to take it. Like, they're going to take the ball. Danny Green is probably their second best signing of the offseason, if you think about it. Like, he's really sneaky good. He's going to hit open shots, but he's going to be there defensively. He's not going to put your team defense at risk by gambling. So I've been impressed with their defense thus far. Even in the Clipper game, outside of the second quarter, they've defended really well. So they're in pretty good shape. Like, I think they're going to be okay.
Yeah, this is a good basketball team through and through. Of course, injuries injuries can always alter anything. We saw LeBron miss an extended period amount of time last year, and AD has missed extended periods of time throughout his career. But I think right now, the way things are sitting, even without Kuzma, without Rajon Rondo, and I think Rondo, you talk about defending, it's only going to get better when Rondo returns.
Yeah, I mean, well, Rondo's defense is very hit or miss. I mean, there's times where he can be a very good team defensive player, but there's also times where he takes a lot of gambles and misses. So that's going to be interesting to see how he comes acclimated. But I think, as crazy as it sounds, Jordan, like, Caruso might be their best option at the point guard position. He's athletic. His defense is very solid. He knows his limitations, so he's not going to do anything he can't do. You know, to this point, when he's been in the game, I believe he has the highest plus-minus out of all their other point guard options. So he's a guy that I look into whenever he comes in, big good things happen. Now, I'm not saying to start him playing 30 minutes, but I think he should get more minutes. Rondo is a guy that has got the ball is going to move, and I think some of the lulls that the Lakers have had is because the ball kind of sticks. Sometimes guys are standing around, so Rondo will help in that regard. But Caruso, he runs pick and roll well. He can finish at the rim. He's a guy I would look to see more from as time goes on.
Let's jump over to the defending Western Conference champions, and we'll talk about the Golden State Warriors. I thought that if this team could weather the storm early on, they would be just fine. It doesn't look like Klay Thompson's going to play this year. In fact, I'm going to say right now he's not going to play this year. I don't think we see him in a Golden State uniform. This is a roster that is somewhat decimated, and at the same time, I think reality is setting in for Steph Curry. You were talking about the expectations a moment ago with the Utah Jazz, and look, we can absolutely pin that logic here on Steph Curry. Remember when Steph had ankle problems early on in his NBA career and we saw what he could become, and then he became that guy. He managed to stay healthy. They put the pieces around him and everything was working for Golden State. Well, now the expectations are sky high. And my question is, what do you do with a 6'2", 180-pound point guard when you don't have complementary pieces around him? Well, we've seen it through the first two games. Golden State has been dreadful, Jameson. And that's one minuscule problem out of a roster that's just blistered with issues at this point in time. This is not a good basketball team.
Interesting. So, with that being said, more of a situation like this. So a lot of, you know, people talk about, oh, well, there's three all-stars there, or there's this or that. Yeah, I understand where people are coming from, but you got to look at it like this. You got to have guys that can play defense. So losing Andre Iguodala, Kevin Durant, Klay Thompson, Sean Livingston, all those guys were plus defenders, if not better. So you lose those guys and you don't replace them with anyone that can play anywhere near the caliber of defense those guys can play. That's the biggest issue. It's not necessarily having all-star guys, because a lot of teams have guys that are all-stars, and, you know, sometimes it makes work, sometimes it don't, but you got to have pieces that fit, and defensively, you have to be able to get stops. And the one, you know, the one thing people point to, well, Russell Westbrook lost KD and won MVP the next season. True, but look at the roster he had. He had Steven Adams, he had Roberson, he had Oladipo, he had Sabonis. All those guys are very good defenders. Like, all those guys defend their position very, very well. So it's a lot different when you can stop the opposing team from scoring. It's very hard to get started when you're down 14-0 and 8-0 in the first two games. So we'll see what happens. I mean, Steph Curry is an amazing basketball player, but defensively the Warriors are a mess. And right now, I've said it from the get-go, they're not making playoffs. They're closer to tanking the season than they are being a contender. That's how crazy this is thus far.
Yeah, you know, look, offensively, I agree with what you just said defensively, and offensively, it is early, but it's D'Angelo Russell. If you thought you were going to get the D'Angelo Russell of last season on this particular Golden State team without Klay Thompson, it's not realistic, Jameson. It's not possible.
That, remember, he shot 43%, so it's not like he was some amazing shooter. He
shot
43%. And 37% from three. 37% from three is not in the top 50 in the league. So people got all overboard about it. I'm like, man, he's a slightly above average player that got hot for a period of time, and there was an all-star injury. That's it. Like, there was nothing special. So the Warriors are in a big trouble here. You know, it's unfortunate that they're going into a big building with no, with another main guns with them. So it happens, though. Every run, it happens with. I have very little sympathy for them, because when the Lakers run ended, there was no sympathy for them. It was a parade. People were happy. People were cheering. All the above. When both their runs ended, when, you know, in 2004, 2005, and then in 2012-13, you know, or early 2011, actually. So it happens. It happens to the best of them. I want to see how they reload. But as of right now, they're young players that you would expect them to draft, or their key signings, small signings, they really haven't had those. You know, they really didn't have any young guy on the bench that is up and coming or developing. All those guys have either been gone or been cut. So I'm interested to see how they go going forward. But right now, they're nowhere near being a contender.
Last question. Storyline that has caught your eye over the first 3 to 4 games of this regular season that maybe you weren't paying attention to in the offseason, but you look at and say, okay, that's interesting. What is it?
I'm sorry, can you repeat the question?
What is the one storyline that you look at that maybe you weren't paying attention to in the offseason that you look at over the three or four games of the regular season and say, okay, that's interesting enough. I'm going to start paying attention to it. Anything stand out to you? Big surprise?
The Timberwolves being better than expected. They're a team. They have some talent. Carl Anthony Towns is playing very well. They're forgotten. Minnesota's a random basketball market. Normally pays attention to the T-Wolves. Unless they're doing really good or something crazy happens. So that was something I would keep an eye on. And out east, really nothing going on out there, to be honest with you. The Nets are kind of intriguing because Kyrie is playing some good basketball, but they're losing. They have a losing record thus far. So that's something to keep in mind of because he's putting up good numbers, putting up good highlights, but they have a losing record.
Jameson Welsh, again, our Drive Time Sports NBA insider. Make sure you follow him on Twitter, at the Jameson. Jameson, it is always a pleasure to get you on the show, and I know we'll be talking again more frequently now that the season is off and rolling.
Man, we'll make it work, man. Whenever you need me, just hit me and we'll make it work. But, yes, man, thank you for having me as always. Definitely appreciate it, and looking forward to seeing what takes place next.
Always a pleasure, that's for sure. Jameson Welsh taking out the time to join us here on Drive Time Sports. We got a break for just a moment. We'll come back and put the final touches on this Monday edition of the show when we return.
I go into every game plan expecting it to work, to be quite honest with you.
Touchdown, Alabama. Devontae Smith coming from left to right, made the catch and was gone.
I understand there's 40,000 experts on Twitter that can call plays for me, so my email address is hashtag I don't care.
Live from the Auto Farm Studios, it's Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM at 7:50 a.m.
You know it ain't my time to call it a day, but it's about time you remember the name, hey, you know it ain't my time.
Back to close out this Monday edition of Drive Time Sports, let's talk college football. The crazy weekend in which we saw Oklahoma and Notre Dame both lose, and that affects the college football playoff conversation greatly. We'll bring in Travis Anderson to help close it out. Travis, you and I watched the Notre Dame-Michigan game on Saturday night. Notre Dame did not resemble anything near a top four playoff team, and we also saw Oklahoma fall to Kansas State. I'm going to go ahead and say both were surprises. Maybe not as much Notre Dame. They had to go on the road against Michigan at the Big House. I still thought they'd win that football game.
Stupid weather.
Yeah, there was a lot of variables, but they were dominated. The Oklahoma game stunned me. I was very shocked that the Sooners lost this football game. Thought maybe it would be a decent game for a little while. They were down by 23 points in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, a tricky place to go, a game they should win, though. But Oklahoma, yeah, didn't resemble anything like that. Number five ranked team going into that game. They drop all the way to 10. Yeah, it's pretty shocked at Oklahoma, you know, laid an egg with, you know, chances to, you know, keep into that playoff picture because if they're undefeated, I think they're better than Clemson. But now with that loss, they're probably going to have a hard time getting in.
It set up perfectly for Notre Dame. All they had to do was beat Michigan, and I think the Irish really would have had a chance to get into the top four. It might have been a similar story to what happened last year when they were beat by 27 points, but they still gave themselves a chance had they beat Michigan. Let's take a look at what this does for the college football playoff picture. And the long of it, if you're a University of Utah fan, you have to be all smiles today. Because in my mind, the Utes are closer to getting into the college football playoff today than they were week one. You didn't buy Utah as a college football playoff squad. I didn't buy Utah as a playoff team. But the fact is, as we sit here now, after week nine, they are a legitimate threat to get into the college football playoff. And again, I tie Notre Dame to the Pac-12 because Notre Dame has to play USC and Notre Dame plays Stanford every year. I don't know that a one-loss Pac-12 team would get in over a one-loss Notre Dame squad. I don't believe they would unless they beat Notre Dame head-to-head. With Notre Dame out of the picture, and you look at the way the rankings are set up right now, and again, these are the AP rankings, but you have LSU, who has to play Alabama on November 9th. One of those two teams, gone. Penn State still has to play Ohio State at some point in time this season. One of those two teams, gone. Oregon and Utah both now have a legitimate chance to climb into the college football playoff. They have a legitimate chance.
Yeah, for Utah, you just can't mess it up on Saturday against Washington because you beat Washington, you're going to win out. There's no way Utah, with the remaining teams on their schedule, is going to lose after, you know, the Washington game. So take care of business against Washington. You set yourself up nicely for that Pac-12 championship game, more than likely against Oregon.
And that may be a playoff game.
Playoff, you know, winner gets that four seed. It possibly could come down to that.
Because my question is now, and let's say that Utah was to slip up against Washington, Oregon was to run the table, and then Utah beats Oregon in the Pac-12 title game, or vice versa. Utah runs the table, Oregon slips up, but they still meet in the Pac-12 championship. Let's throw that scenario out there.
I just don't think a two-loss Utah losing to two unranked teams would get in.
No, absolutely not.
No, there's
absolutely
no way.
Not. What I'm saying is a two-loss team from the Pac-12 would then open up a second team from the Big Ten East or maybe the runner-up from the SEC West. But right now you have the inside track on both of those squads, right? Because if the Big Ten East was to get two teams in or if the SEC West was to get two teams in, the only way you can justify that is if a conference champion either A, has a horrible strength of schedule, which is Oklahoma, or B, they have two losses, which could be the Pac-12. The point I'm trying to make is as we sit here right now, the Utes are in a better spot. Oregon is in a better spot than they were at the beginning of the year of getting in. Once Oregon lost to Auburn, we thought maybe they still had a chance, but you didn't know because it was the Pac-12's chance to showcase what they're capable of, and they came up short. Here's the fact with Auburn. Or excuse me, with Oregon. With that loss to Auburn, they still have a better opportunity, Oregon, resume-wise, if they were to beat Utah in the Pac-12 championship. And in fact, if the Utes were to run the table and beat Oregon, they would have a better strength of schedule, a more valuable win than, say, Oklahoma.
Yeah, two teams are going to knock themselves out of, you know, the playoff, you know, picture this weekend with Florida and Georgia. Because both have one losses, Florida the 6th and Georgia's the 8th.
Yeah, but you know what's bad about Georgia's loss? They lost to South Carolina. I mean, that's what's bad about Georgia's loss. Now, if Georgia was to run the table, they would still get in. Georgia still controls their own destiny, don't get me wrong, but you're absolutely right. One of those two teams is going to knock themselves out. If Utah gets a win over Washington and they look impressive, I could see Utah being around that 7th spot when the college football playoff rankings come out, and that's where you need to be. And so the Utes are in fine shape. Like you said, you can't screw it up.
There's 3.5-point favorites on the road this week, and they're a better team than Washington. Best defense in the Pac-12, I think we both can agree on that, one of the best defenses in the nation, but you just can't screw it up. I mean, time after time again, Utah's put themselves in position, and we see them lay an egg. I mean, that one year they lost to Colorado. I mean, they had a golden opportunity, so you can't screw it up this weekend.
Well, and let me throw one more thing out there. As it sits right now, Oregon can't avoid a slip-up because Oregon in the North is sitting at 5-0. Stanford is in second at 3-3. They can slip up a time or two. Utah also has to hope that USC slips up. Now, I know USC has Oregon, but like I just alluded to, if we're just talking about the Pac-12 in general, Oregon can slip up. Now, they can if they want to get into the playoffs, but they can for Pac-12 purposes. The Utes still have to hope that USC loses a game. That's how important that game was at the Coliseum, because if you don't go to the Pac-12 championship, you're not getting into the college football playoff because the Pac-12 is not held in high enough regard to begin with. So if you're a Ute fan, you have to root heavily against USC from here on out.
You need two losses out of USC, essentially.
Well, you need one. Because
they're
going
to lose. USC's not going to win this weekend. And if you lose
against
this
Oregon?
Yeah, and if Utah slips up this weekend, you better hope that USC with the remaining Arizona State, Cal, or UCLA gets beat.
Yeah, but I'm going to go out on a limb and say that if Utah loses this weekend, I don't think Ute fans would care that they're not playing in the Pac-12 championship, because as we sit here on October 28th, there's a chance for this team to get into the playoff.
And,
you have to win out, and you have to hope USC loses a game. You have to.
Which is going
to
happen, the way that they played.
I'm going to tell you right now, if USC wins on Saturday, they're going to win the Pac-12 South, because they're not going to lose on the road to Arizona State, they're not going to lose to Cal,
they're not losing to UCLA. I agree with you 100%. So, and I think USC, you know, they at the Coliseum, that's going to be a tough game for Oregon. Should have lost.
It's not
Saturday.
An easy game.
No, and Oregon, you can put points up on Oregon, but USC's defense is going to give a lot of points. So it's going to come down to, you know, whoever has the ball last, probably.
So Utah is in a great spot. They still need some help. Like I said, it does not matter. If they don't get to the Pac-12 championship, they could be number 5, number 6 in the country. They're not getting in over the runner-up from the SEC West or a squad out of the Big Ten East. They're not getting in if they're not playing in the Pac-12 championship. It's not going to happen. The SEC is the only conference, and I'll say this right now, you can hold me to it, the SEC is the only conference in which a team could not play for their conference title and get in. So if you're a Ute fan, you better root like crazy for Oregon this weekend because you want to make sure that you control your own destiny and you get that matchup with the Oregon Ducks. All I'm saying is if you're a Ute fan as well, you better be happy where you're sitting right now because it is more reasonable to think this team can get there today than it was
3-4 weeks ago.
Even more so than that, 2 months ago.
Yeah, after that USC loss, it didn't look good at all.
No. No, and I thought it was a tall tale to begin with going into the season, but they put themselves in a great spot. Out of time on this edition of the show. We'll be back to do it again tomorrow. He's Travis Anderson. I'm Jordan Buscarini. Be safe. We are out.